For those of you whom I've not met, my name is Linda Kugel. I have a couple of announcements before we get started. This Saturday is our one-day ladies' retreat, and I just would encourage all of you to come if you have not signed up yet. We're going to have a number of wonderful teachings and worship and time of prayer and workshops. So you can learn everything from how to get those arms in shape to how to knit and everything in between. So I'd encourage you to sign up. There will be people at the registration table after the evening tonight. Also, evening groups will meet next week. Apparently, Kids Club is not meeting, but the evening groups will meet. So, the life lesson I have to share with you tonight is very different or somewhat different from what we've had before. The ones that we've listened to before have been things that the people who've stood up here have learned. They have been life lessons that the Lord has worked into their lives. And tonight's is one that I am at the very beginning stages of learning. So I come as a neophyte to you. I am in the process of learning this lesson, kind of at the very beginning of the process. And what I want to share with you tonight is what the Lord is teaching me about redeeming the time. In January, I shared with you that the last 7 years of my life have been filled with a number of trials, and I kind of spiraled down to a place where I was absolutely exhausted and depressed. I just didn't have any margins in my life, physically, emotionally, relationally, or even spiritually in a healthy way. It was just out of order. Not only was I not thriving, but I was barely surviving. And at the beginning of this year, as I was in that place of becoming a little more healthy, I asked the Lord to give me a verse for the year. And he did, and he led me to Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. And in the New King James, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In the Amplified, we get a little more, and it says, "Therefore, see that you walk carefully," "living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of every opportunity, and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil." The word "see" in that verse means to be aware of, to observe, to consider, to pay attention to. It's spoken of as a way of caution. Be careful of what's going to be said. Walk means to live and deport yourself, be occupied with. Circumspectly has the same root as the word circle. It means round. So as we walk, we need to look around. We need to be careful. We need to walk diligently. And redeeming, the Greek word here means to buy up the marketplace. Opportunity is regarded as a commodity here. It's to be used by us as believers. It means to buy up all that can be bought and not allow the suitable moment to pass by as unheeded, but to take it up as our own. In this context, it meant to gain as much time and opportunity as possible in the view of persecution and death, because that's what was going on at the time this was written. Now, the Lord has been very gracious with me. I am feeling much better. And it seemed to me where the Lord was directing me was to start here with redeeming the time. I needed to begin by understanding what it meant to redeem the time. I'm learning to structure my life so that I redeem the time according to His priorities. So in a way, tonight is kind of part two of what I shared in January. Now, as I said, this is an ongoing work in my life, and I have in no way apprehended. It's definitely a work in progress. I am just beginning to understand this lesson and starting to implement it in my life. Also, my understanding of this is changing daily, literally. I shared with a couple of sisters. I'd been taking notes for several weeks once I knew what I was going to be teaching on, because I was going to be sharing with you about margins and how to create margins in your life. So for the last 5 or 6 weeks, I've just sketched down some notes. And last week, I put it together, and I had about 10 pages of thoughts. I even had two godly Christian friends look through and help edit it for me to try to put things in order. And they did a great job, but it just seemed jumbled to me. My mind was not clear. Well, yesterday morning, I'd had a few dreams during the night, and yesterday morning, the still small voice of the Lord changed my direction. So this, the ink is still wet on this one, ladies. It seemed out of order and scattered, and the reason it did is because I was looking at it from the wrong direction. Instead of it being about margins, it's about redeeming the time. I'm going to talk a little bit about structuring routines and things, but the central message is that if our life, if my life is lived the way the Lord would have it, if I redeem the time properly, the margins are going to be right. We never saw Jesus going, oh, I'm so frenzied, I just don't have time. I don't know what I should do. No, I can't go to that town. I have to. He didn't do that because he was doing exactly what the Father had called him to do. If my borders and the content of my life are arranged in the proper way, then the margins are going to be right. Now, as I said, the Lord is never late, but rarely early. I would have much preferred to get this new revelation about 2 weeks ago. I would have loved it if it had come in written form. But even if it had just come in, you know, a still quiet voice, I would have liked that. But our sovereign Lord knows. He knows how much I am not flexible. He knows how much I need to learn to be flexible, to be listening for him, to be praying without ceasing, to be expecting him to answer as I pray. And he knew that I needed his final editing yesterday morning. So that's when I got it. I want to show you something. Oh, before I go on, so the applications that you'll be receiving, I sent on Monday before I'd have the new revelation. So on the back page, wherever it says margins, you may want to just change that to redeeming the time, if it seems appropriate. I've heard people say that the Lord has a sense of humor, and I think this may be a showing us of that. For those of you who are visual learners, before I get started, this is a piece of paper. This would be the center part, which compromises the words in the page, the message. When it comes to applying this to our lives, this is where we live on a daily basis. If it were time, it's the time that's scheduled. It's taking the kids to school. It's going to medical appointments, cleaning the house, buying the groceries, cooking the meals, visiting your widowed mother, all the things that we do in our daily life. And they fall under this. Anything that falls under our area of responsibility, this would be it. And I'm going to talk about that later. The second area is the border or the boundary, the edges here. And that part is where our responsibility ends. If you think of a property, these are the property lines. I'm responsible to take care of my yard, but I'm not responsible to take care of the neighbor's yard or the street or what happens behind my house. Those are not mine. I'm not going to focus on this tonight, but just a couple of lessons I've learned about this have been life-changing for me, so I want to share just a little of that. For years, I didn't understand that. I think sometimes as women, we don't. I took responsibility for feelings and thoughts and actions of others. One of the symptoms was what Karen talked about when she talked about walking on eggshells, because I thought if somebody was unhappy, It was my problem. It was my fault. Somehow I needed to be different, or I needed to do something about it. So then they would be different. I believe that my shortcomings caused someone else's bad attitude, their anger, or their lack of love. And what I've learned is this is not true. I am 100% responsible for what I think and what I feel and what I say and what I do. I don't get to do blame shifting. In the same way, every other adult in my life is 100% responsible for what they think and for what they feel and what they say and what they do. I am not responsible for any of that. Someone said it this way, explaining this concept, and I love this. They said, "It's none of my business what you think of me." And I liked that. The second problem with taking on things that don't belong to us, things that are outside of those borders or boundaries of our lives, is that it causes a couple of problems in the body of Christ. My husband taught me this years ago. And we may take it on for a number of reasons. It may just seem like a great opportunity. And doesn't that seem like fun? Or for whatever reason. But my husband told me what happens is when I run out and take on a ministry or an opportunity that God doesn't have for me, the first problem it causes is that it dilutes my ability to do what I am called to do, because now I'm spread too thinly. The other problem is it keeps the person God has called to it from doing it. He has gifted and called somebody else to that, whatever that thing is, that ministry or that project. And so when I go in, if I do and swoop it up, they're missing out, and the body of Christ is missing out on having everyone do what they should do. So although that's not the focus of what I'm going to share with you tonight, those are both really good lessons that I have to remember about these boundaries and what happens if I step outside of them. The third part, then, are the margins. And what the Lord showed me is, as I said, let me talk about margins a little bit, then I'll tell you what he showed me. They create a cushion. They give us some wiggle room. They allow us to handle the unexpected, to be free from undue stress and anxiety. I can pray without ceasing. I can be watching and waiting and expecting that the Lord is going to bring divine appointments, divine moments into my life. And I will have the time, I will have the ability, because of the margin, to deal with those. Just a couple examples of healthy margins. One might occur having to do with time. If, for instance, I'm going to go to another town because I have an appointment, and I look up Google, and Google says it's going to take me 25 minutes to get there, I might plan 40 minutes because I'm not sure what traffic will be like, and I don't exactly know where I'm going to park. And I know how often I get in the car and realize I didn't bring my sunglasses and I have to go back in, or whatever it may be. But so I'll plan that little margin so I get there. Worst case scenario, I get there early. But I will get there in time for my appointment. Another example would involve finances. If we live paycheck to paycheck, we don't have any margins. So having a little stash, a little savings account, or a little extra lets me know that, so if the transmission goes out in the car, we can put a new transmission in. Or if the heat and air goes out, and generally the heat goes out the coldest day of winter and the air goes out the hottest day of summer. It's just the way things work. We'll know we have the extra money to get that repaired. And then Monday, as the Lord is so faithful, I had a really amazing example of what a margin is. I was traveling over to Livermore to my brother and sister-in-law's, and I was driving over the Altamont. I was in the second lane from the fast lane. So I was here, here's the fast lane, and they're doing work. Which, are they always doing work on the Altamont? I think the Altamont and San Francisco Airport, I believe that they have been doing work on both of those for the last 25 years, and I guess it's going to continue. So anyway, on the Altamont, there's this probably about this high concrete barrier along there. So I'm not next to that because I don't really like to be that close to those. So I'm over here in the second lane, and a semi starts to come right into my lane, heading at where I am. I just quickly moved over to the fast lane because I had a margin there. And I thought later, had I been in the fast lane and that had happened and a car was coming at me from this direction and the concrete barrier was here, I would have two options. I could let the car hit me or I could run into the concrete barrier because I wouldn't have had a margin that way. So if we don't have margins, it really can be a disaster. And so it's important that we live whatever the Lord's calling us to in that center area, the content of our lives, as He calls us to, and have the boundaries where they need to be so that it creates those margins. Now, margins aren't going to eliminate all the difficulties in our lives. Our lives are filled with unexpected events, and many of these stretch us way out of our comfort zones. Margins aren't going to prevent the pain or the suffering or the difficulties, but they will give us that cushion, some wiggle room as we go through those times. The Bible promises us that we're going to have trials. We know we will, but if we have that room, it will be easier as we go through them. And I thought it's kind of like car insurance or seatbelts or airbags. They're not going to prevent the accident, but they'll give us some peace of mind and help protect us if we get into an accident. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, is we're going to look at how do we keep that context of our lives? How do we redeem that time in such a way that we're doing the best we can? My tendency years ago was to have a plan B, and a plan C, and a plan D, and a plan E, and a plan F, because you never know, which just kind of creates anxiety and shows a bit of lack of trust in the Lord. So, as I said, this is a journey, and I'm new at this journey of redeeming the time in the ways that the Lord is showing me. I always, and just to kind of as some background information, that word journey bothered me for a number of years. It sort of seemed like it was an excuse for sin. Well, it's just a journey, you know, kind of the expectation that I'm going to fall off here, or I'll miss it here. And I've learned that, no, it really is a journey. And I am going to miss it. And, you know, my aim is to go the right direction, but I'll slip off the path occasionally. And I love the definition that I'd heard years ago about sin. You know, it's like it's an archery term. I am doing my very best to hit the bullseye, but often I miss it. And that's what this is about. So for the last few months, I've been slowing down. I've been learning about routines and focusing on how to rebuild my life in a healthy way. And as I did, the Lord showed me something that I need for the framework and that we all need for the framework, and that's Ephesians 2:10. For we are His daughters, the Lord's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should work in them. Ladies, we are His workmanship. We are His poema, His work of art. He is a potter, and we are the clay, and He has made us just the way He wants us to be. I think it's so easy to forget that. We can pick at ourselves, we can get distracted, but He absolutely adores us, and we are His work of art. We all have different gifts, we have different callings, we have different seasons in our lives. So when we schedule our time, the first question has to be, Lord, what do You have for me today in this specific season of my life? I want to get up tomorrow morning and talk with the Lord and say, Lord, this is the 22nd of March, 2018. This day has never occurred before, and it will never occur again. What do You have? Show me, Lord, how I can redeem this March 22nd in a way that brings glory to You. That I will see what I should see, that I will hear what I should hear, that I will reach out to those I should reach out to, that I won't miss one opportunity that you have for me for March 22nd. And actually, I'm not a jewelry person, but I thought, I think I'd love to get a bracelet. I'd love to see if I could find a jeweler that would make me a bracelet and etch in it, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. I thought then every time I would look down, it would be right there as a reminder. I can't get this minute back. I want to do everything the Lord has for me in this minute. As I'm learning this, the Lord has shown me there are a number of things I need to consider. The first is just the awareness that I belong to Him. I am His. He is my master, and I am His servant. And so I begin by asking Him, Lord, what have you created me for today? What's your plan and what's your purpose? If I'm your poema, then what are the areas of my life that need attention? How can I redeem today according to the way you have called and gifted me? Are there things I'm spending time on that are bringing you glory? That's what I want. And are there things I'm spending time on that are just a waste? And just briefly, I want to go off because this was so funny. I was laughing today. I was texting back and forth with a friend who was saying she was praying for me today. And I thought what she said is there's so much information coming in. And it can, you know, what I read is it can be so distracting. So I had set my stuff down, gone out to the, oh gosh, I wish I'd brought it to show you, gone out to the mailbox to pick up my mail. And in it, there is this card that I can purchase $439 or 4 monthly payments of $37.50 each. A handbag, a personalized handbag that does not have Louis Vuitton on it. It has LKs all over it for Linda Kugel. And I thought, oh, this is what I need, and maybe I'll buy one for each of my friends. So they too can walk around with a bag, and it has a little personalized, for free, something to attach my keys to. And I just thought, is there just silliness in our world? And is it easy to get distracted? And that is something that I can easily do, but I must tell you, I was not even slightly tempted to pay $139 for that handbag. So, what can I do to glorify Him? It's not mine, the handbag. Secondly, I have to learn to start where I am. C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I need to be careful that I don't spend too much time romanticizing the past. It's so easy to look back, and things seem so sweet and wonderful and carefree. But like if I'm driving a car and I need to glance in the rearview mirror every once in a while, or so I've been told. and I've done that a couple times. But I can't turn my head and be looking back. If I do, I am bound to get in an accident. And that's what spending too much time looking back will do for us. Okay, now my French tutor has helped me with this little French phrase. She's sitting here in the front row to help me if I can't get it right, quite right. Okay, so it's something like, un peu, close? No, not even close. It means, for those of you who speak French, you probably didn't recognize it, little by little. And that's, it took me a long time to spiral down to where I was. It's going to take me time to spiral back up. And my tendency is to want to get a microwave version. Let's get this finished in 5 minutes. Many people suggest that best practice may be to make little changes or create new habits one at a time. So instead of being overwhelmed with all this big change, I need to look at a year and just say, a year out, if I don't make any changes, where will I be? I'll be worse than I am because I'll be a year older and in the same place. But what if in each area, each important area of my life, I make just one significant change every month? A year from now, I will have 12 significant changes in every important area of my life. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do, to not take it all on at once, but to take it on kind of like baby steps, just a little bit. In The Hare and the Tortoise, sorry about that, Aesop put it this way, slow and steady wins the race. So that's my goal for this year, one small change each month. And I know in the little I've done with this, it can feel like two steps forward and one step back. But I have to remember, for you non-math people, if you take two forward and one back, you're still ahead. Okay? To clear that up. The second thing, and this is something that I never looked at things this way. I always think if you've got things to do, do the hardest one first and then you get it out of the way with. And I think it was Dave Ramsey talking about finances and financial things, especially debt. Whoever it was said, if you've got four credit cards and the interest payment that you're paying is pretty equal, pay down the smallest one first. I thought, interesting. And whoever it was, his point was, it's encouraging. You get to check off and say, hey, I did something. I've accomplished $10, so now I can look at doing $50 because I know that I can do it. And I thought, there's something to that. So kind of, if there's something that's easier, do that and get the courage and the strength and the just the I did it kind of feeling to know I did this, I'm going to go on and accomplish bigger things. Another thing that I need to learn as I'm doing this is to consult experts in fields where I need guidance. There's a woman who some of you may have heard of called the Fly Lady, and she's on the internet, and she helps give you structure in how to organize your home and your cleaning and all those kinds of homemaking things. And not that I will do everything she says, but she gives me a template, or she gives me some place to start. And then I can kind of tweak it as it works for myself. If you have a friend who's really good at something, go to them and say, you know what? Your house is always neat and orderly. Tell me how you organize your schedule. The only problem is sometimes they're naturals. And they'll say something to you like, I don't know, I just get up and do what needs to be done. Doesn't work for me. Because I don't see what needs to be done. I wouldn't have this problem. The next thing is to make relationships a priority. First, my relationship with the Lord, and then my relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Number seven, if I counted these right, is I need to take care of myself. And this is a tough one, I think, for us as Christian women. My daughter explained it this way. She said, Mom, you know when you get on a plane and they tell you, if there's a problem, put on your oxygen mask first and then help the person with you. And we need to take care of ourselves so we can do the things that the Lord calls us to. Alas, this doesn't mean that I need a weekly spa day or a weekly massage. But it's not selfishness if we do this the way the Lord directs. It's just good stewardship. I need to make sure, again, that I don't step outside of my borders. It means my yes needs to be yes, and my no needs to be no means needs to be no. It's really easy for us, I think, as women, to think there's something that needs to be done. I can do it. Therefore, I should do it. And we need to remember what my husband said. If you rush out and do that thing the Lord hasn't called you to, you're causing problems for yourself and you're causing problems for someone else. This is one, and it may or may not work for others, but when I was a special education teacher, we used this a lot. Making goals that are specific and measurable. So in reading, we won't say that Johnny can read better next year. We'll say that by this date next year, little Johnny will be able to read a third grade text at 78 words per minute with 85% accuracy. They're specific goals, so I can measure them. If I just say that he'll be able to do it better, I don't know what that means. So I'm trying to set those kinds of goals for myself so I'll be able to look back at the end of a year and say, did I meet these? Did I grow in these areas? For instance, maybe I'll make a goal of spending 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, decluttering. It's pretty easy. I set my timer. I go and do as much as I can. When it dings, I turn it off, and I can check. I did that. And if I do that 5 days, then I can check that that's what I've done. The last one is just generally, I need to be led by what the Lord has for me. I need to ask him, what are the areas he wants me to work on? How does he want me to work on them? What things does he want me to do? So these are a few of the areas that I've looked at. As I said, this is new, so I'm just starting to get on this. And I want to add up, which is probably not right. No. Maybe French lessons will be in my goals for the upcoming year. The first area, of course, is the spiritual area of my life. This is where I wanted to start. My relationship with the Lord, I want it to be vibrant. I want it to be exciting. And it over the years, it had just become sort of dry and wilderness-like. And I hadn't backslidden. I was still in church every week. I was in Bible studies every week. I had a daily quiet time with the Lord. But I was in a fog so much of the time that I think the stress and the trials and different things, I was doing what I was doing because I knew my God was there. But there were no feelings, or not a lot of feelings. And I am not a believer that you need feelings, but they're nice sometimes. It's a nice to have. And so instead of doing it with that zeal, it was kind of my life, I was putting one foot down in front of the other. I'd become sort of numb and disconnected. So to better understand God's priorities in my life, I just started to slow down. I'm taking the time away. I'm retired now, so I have the time to do it. I've done personal Bible studies. I read his promises. I went back. I had done a study years ago on the names of God. And just going back and sitting with that, you know, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that is going to supply everything I need. He's the God that sees me. He's the God that created everything with these storms and just how green everything has gotten from the rain and watching the wind. He is all of that. And I can just sit with him and enjoy that. There's a new intimacy that I've gotten as I've sat with the lover of my soul in this way. He's showing me anew his character, how much he loves me, all that he does, and how he's gifted me and what he's called me to do. And it is my desire that I'll just experience his presence all the time. Now, because of the way I think, when the Lord gave me the redeeming the time verse, I thought, all right, I'm going to be adding in lots of new ministries. I get to spend more time with my sisters in Christ because that is what I love to do. Well, I got a couple of other verses just right after that. The first one was Psalm 23, 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then if I wasn't clear, Psalm 46, 10 was given to me right after. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This was going to be a year, initially, not of so much ministry out there, but of much needed restoration for my soul with my loving, all-perfect, all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present Lord and me. To me, the restorations involves more time with him, learning to really share my heart with him, learning to listen to him as he speaks to me, and learning to speak to him in prayers of praise and thanksgiving, but also learning to speak to him in prayers of brokenness and lament, arranging my life as he would have it arranged. And as I've heard so many of my sisters say before, that I'm just going to perform for an audience of one. I want to spend the time with the Savior of my soul, with my best friend, with my counselor. I want to hear him through his word and through his still small voice. One final section of scripture he gave me that I'm sure you all know very well: delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when I heard this years and years ago as a new Christian, I thought it meant if I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me what I ask him for. He's going to give me what I want. That's what it says, isn't it? Delight myself in him and he'll give me the desires of my heart. And over the years, I've realized it's so much better than that. If I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to put those desires in my heart. And so instead of it being something I might want, it's going to be what he wants for me. And what could be a better or bigger blessing than that? So the second area of my life that the Lord is teaching me that I need to work on is my time with my husband, my bill time. I mentioned, and for those of you who weren't here, my husband about 4 years ago was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's probably in the moderate phase right now. And so how do I minister to him? Language is very difficult. Often he doesn't understand what I say, and he isn't able to communicate with me. He just can't find the words. So I sat down last Saturday morning to do my quiet time, and he asked me if I was going to do it out loud. Well, I hadn't planned to, but asked him if he'd like me to, and he said yes. So I have a Bible for him that's called the Jesus Storybook Bible, and I read a section of that to him. And then I'm doing a 5-week devotional, I think it is, pre-Easter, called Journey to the Cross. And so I read the pages of scripture and the devotional message to him. And then I have a book on Psalm 23 by Max Lucado. And I read the chapter of that to him. And he loved it. So I realized we're going to add that in. So that's one of the things I'm adding in for him. He just started about a month ago to go 3 days a week to an adult program. And this has given me time to do a couple things. One, do the things that the Lord's calling me to do, to have time with my sisters in Christ. But it's also allowed me to do a lot of those things, like studying and other things, that so that I'm not doing them on the days that I'm with him. So that I've freed up at least Tuesdays and Thursdays to be our day, to do things together. And last Thursday, we went to the farmer's market, and we went to Costco, and we went to Trader Joe's and Raley's, and we were just able to spend time together. And some of the things that the Lord is leading me to add in, we are adding in afternoon tea, which is just very fun. So when he gets home from his adult program about 3:30, or the other days when we're home, we're having a cup of tea and sometimes maybe sharing a scone. Totally off subject, but I just learned about a wonderful Swedish holiday. Any of you Swedish? Not holiday, but it's called fika. Every day, they work hard, stop what they're doing, and have some tea or coffee, a piece of cake, and they chat with friends. I think this is wonderful. I don't know how I could have gone all these years without knowing about this. And I am very excited to make this an international part of my daily life. The other thing Bill and I are doing, there's an exercise program that I can get on the computer. And so for half an hour before dinner, we're doing that. We have a really nice, quiet neighborhood with big trees. And so walking in the neighborhood and then either inviting friends over or calling, as the English did, want to add that into our schedule to visit with friends on those days that he's there. In the area of homemaking, I want my home to be a serene place. The Lord has really blessed us in that we have a home that's just very quiet feeling. The backyard is very nice and serene, and I want it to be even more so. I want it to be that place I meet with God on a daily basis, that I meet for hospitality, a place for restoration for myself and for others. And to do that, it needs to be in order. Unfortunately, I am a person who needs a tremendous amount of structure and order in my life, but I am by nature not structured and ordered. My mother was always thrilled when my cousin would come to visit because she said, Linda cleans her room up when Maureen comes to visit. That was about the only time. I'm very easily distracted, and I get focused on one thing, and then I want to go do part of it, and I move over to something else. It's getting better, but again, it's one of those baby steps kind of things. And I've heard about this. It's called the IGAD syndrome, and especially being retired, IGAD stands for I got all day. And so I think, well, I can sit down and place, you know, pyramid solitaire for just 15 minutes. But I wasn't disciplined enough to say, at 15 minutes, you need to get up and move. But I don't want to get up and move. I don't care if you want to get up and move. You made an agreement, 15 minutes, get up and move. And I'm listening a little better these days. But so I'm trying to do those bit by bit, adding things into my day to make it that sanctuary. A weekly schedule. So the laundry and the cleaning and all those things are ordered. Asking friends to come in and share a meal. Looking around a room. This is a new one for me. Looking around a room as I leave it and seeing if there's anything out of place. And if there is, picking it up and putting it where it belongs. Now this, I see someone nodding who is a naturally neat person. This is what naturally neat persons have in their DNA. They know, they're born knowing that. My daughter, somehow, I don't know how, was born knowing that. She can't stand things to be out of order. Unfortunately, her brother got my DNA. So anyway, last December, we got together and we made those little packets for the luncheons, for the ladies' luncheon, the chicken packets that were so good in the phyllo dough, if any of you went. And as we were making it, one of the girls said, I love to finish a project. This thought process had never occurred to me. Truly, I love to start a project. I love a new tube of lipstick. I love a new mascara. I love the beginning. I was sharing with some sisters not long ago when my friend's son was 22. I stopped working on the needlepoint Kurt's first Christmas stocking because I knew he wasn't going to get it. And it was too late. So that is just, my thinking process doesn't go there, but I'm trying to incorporate that. I'm trying to get it to a project and think, I am going to love it when I finish doing all these dishes. As kind of a reward to myself ahead, I know you should never reward ahead of time, but I did. I bought some lemon-scented dishwashing soap and lemon-scented hand soap. So my kitchen's going to now smell like lemon. So I'll want to do the dishes, right? I'm going to want that lemon smell. So I am asking the Lord, solidify that in my heart, Lord, this new, I love the end of a project kind of thinking. The next area of my life are relationships. Having people who are close. And this was an area I just got isolated and lonely as I was kind of going through all this, these several years of trials. And so I'm starting to bring those back. Relationships that I had years ago, and now that we're back in Modesto, bringing them back. And then new relationships, new people in my life. And it's been such a blessing. I love my sisters in Christ. There are a few things in life that are just as fun to me as to get to talk to somebody. And, you know, having sisters who are honest and pour into my life. One, I won't name her because I didn't ask permission, but we were together one day having coffee, and I said, I am just so random. I mean, my brain's like a pinball machine. And she looked at me and she said, I don't see you that way. Really? It's changed my life. Maybe I'm not as random as I think I am. Or maybe I'm hiding it very well. But whatever it is, because I lived in that. I'm so random and I'm so distracted. I'm so disorganized. And so I'm not living in that as much because somebody spoke that into my life. And I am so grateful. So weekly time with friends, I want to add that in. Something that a friend of mine, I won't name her either because I didn't ask permission, but she started this in my life a number of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, phone dates. I have friends in Texas. I have friends in Hillmar. I have friends in Washington State. My cousin lives in Sonoma. I don't get to see these people on a weekly basis, but we can set up a phone date. I have a phone date set with my friend in Texas next Monday. 1 o'clock my time, I think it's 3 o'clock her time, we'll call one another. We may talk for an hour or longer. And it's wonderful, and it's something I wouldn't have thought of, but something that somebody spoke into my life. I want to add in sending texts or notes or letters or just that kind of a thing. So I'm making contact with other sisters. And then the whole area of health. My body, your body, they're temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word tells us. And so we need to treat them that way. And it's really easy for me to get off track, and especially if I let my blood sugar get low, and then I'm just like a radar looking. What is it that I can eat? What's fast? What's there? Generally, it's not very healthy. So getting into a routine of writing my menus out. In fact, a couple of you, and you'll know because you're going to get a call in the next few days, I'm going to beg, plead, cry for you to give me your weekly menu plans, because I know you have them. I want them. So I have a format. I have somewhere to start. Exercise time. I had was working out at 7 o'clock at a gym in the area, and I stopped that because I'm trying to schedule Bill's time. But when I did it, I worked with bands, which I really like, and you can put them in your door. And so I want to add the bands back in at home, and going to whatever it is to do it in a healthy way. Instead of just saying I want to be more healthy, I want to add 5 fruits and vegetables into my diet every day. So I'm putting in the good stuff. Mental health, iron sharpening iron on a regular basis. There are a few things that help my mental health as well as you guys, as my sisters in Christ. That is just the best for me. Reading things that sharpen me, learning something new. It was going to be Spanish, but now I'm thinking it probably should be French. or I thought I'd like to learn to play the piano. Just adding in over the year, and if I do that in each of these areas, I'll have 12 new solid habits that I've worked in over the next 12 months. So that's what the Lord is teaching me. As I said, it's brand new, but I'm hopeful and I'm encouraged. And I hope that the Holy Spirit adding these things in will give me the ability, because I want to walk circumspectly. I want to redeem the time. So every night when I go to bed, if I take time to talk to him, I'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You redeemed that time." The other thing the Lord's teaching me, which is new and which has been very helpful, is I have learned to say of a lot, "It's okay. When I miss it, it's okay. I get another chance." God always gives us a second chance. I want to redeem the time better. I want to be healthier, have healthier margins, healthier borders, so I can follow the Lord's leading and be open to every opportunity he presents. So I just want to end with Soli Deo Gloria. To God and God alone be the glory. Thank you. Thank you for listening to what seemed like a jumbled message, but I know the Lord can put it together. I appreciate each one of you. And I so appreciate our Lord and Savior. Father, Abba, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for the way you change us day to day, for the fact that you made us new. You made us new the moment we came to you. And bit by bit, little by little, we are being sanctified to look like Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you and praise you. I thank you for each of my sisters, for what a blessing they are in my life. I thank you that you have drawn us together with that scarlet thread that you've provided by the blood of Christ. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.